Well, we're going to take up God's word. This is God's word to us. And Jean, thank you very much. He's going to come and read to us. And I've put, it's on there. Sorry, Gary, it's my fault. Verses 3 to 8 is correct. But actually, I've asked Jean to read chapter 2, verse 1 to 8. And then a bit later, we're going to be focusing particularly on 3 and 4 as we continue our series on spiritual health, assurance, knowing that we know we're Christians.
The reading is on 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 to 8, and the page number is 1225. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. His commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yes, I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing, and the true light is already shining.
And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 John. It's right near the back of the Bible, so Revelation. And turn back a few little books. Page 1225. Jesus said in Matthew 28, go into all the world, make disciples, baptize, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. Let's pray before we look at this passage. Father, thank you for your word, the Bible, which teaches, trains us, which corrects us. As we open it now, in this particular portion of your word, we pray you help us to be honest, to be open, to understand, and to respond to, rightly to you, we pray. Amen. Well, how do you spot a Christian? Are they the ones playing guitar and singing Kumbaya? Or maybe they're the ones that do the kind of socks and sandal combo really well. Sorry. Or is it because they go to church? Or is it because they pray? Or can you spot a Christian because of how they talk? They say all the right things. What is it? How do you spot a Christian? Or if we're here this morning and we'd say we're Christians, well, how would people know we're a Christian? How can they tell? Well, you spot a Christian when you spot Jesus in their life, don't you? Now, John writes this letter because it's really important that his readers know what an authentic Christian is. Important that they know Jesus, which is the title of our little series here. Because the thing is, false assurance is rife amongst those who left the church in Ephesus. Now, reading most New Testament letters is a bit like listening to someone talking on the phone. You know that experience when someone in the same room as you is talking to someone on the phone, and you can hear what the person in the room is saying, but you can't hear, of course, what the person on the other end of the line is saying. So you've got to kind of fill in and guess the silent bits, haven't you? So try this for a moment. So here we go. Sorry, what's that? Coming home. Oh, you think so, do you? Sorry, I couldn't resist. See, John thinks, says things like, this is the message. Because at the other end of the line, the Ephesian Christians are saying, the ones that left are saying the message is this. John says things like, if we claim Because at the other end of the line, the Christians are saying, but they are claiming this, that, and the other. John says, we know, because the Ephesian Christians are saying, but they say they know this, that, and the other. And the Christians were having doubts about their own faith, but John is clear. Those who've left the church, and we've looked at this before, 2 verse 16, and those verses around, those who've left the church are deceived. Their assurance is false. They don't share in fellowship with the Father and the Son, because they've broken fellowship with us, the apostles, John says, because they're making up all sorts of stuff about Jesus, because they are no longer walking in the light, because, as we looked at last time, they're not admitting sin. And this leads them to not obeying Jesus' commands, which we're looking at today. There's a big difference, isn't there, between being in the know and being deceived. Big difference. Knowing is a great thing. And John wants the Christians to know that they really are Christians. Now, interestingly, John uses 2,134 words in 1 John, total, but only 303 different words, which means there's a lot of repetition, isn't there? And the word know comes up 30 times in the book of 1 John, and 4 times in the verses we're looking at this morning. He wants them to know because it's a terrible thing to have an assurance that is false. Believers are so confident that they're spiritually okay, but they are so deceived. And for a person to think they're safe, assured of a place in heaven, but to be deceived, to find on that day the door firmly shut in their face. I mean, Jesus' parables, time and time again, he says this, doesn't he? That is an unthinkable horror, to think I'm in, and then slam, not to be in. It's a very alarming thought, isn't it? And we want to ensure that this isn't us, don't we? John's letters function to encourage Christians to keep walking in the light, keep fighting sin, keep obeying. He's saying, don't stop pursuing Jesus like believers have. They've turned away from him. You keep going. And the fact you're keeping going is a really good sign. Okay, it's a lot of encouragement. And you know you're his if you keep doing that. So John is, and we looked at this before, he's kind of holding up this new birth certificate. And he's saying, look, by knowing and growing in these things, it's clear you know Jesus. So be encouraged. Don't be led astray by them. This is how you can be sure. And his letter works to comfort the uncomfortable. They are uncomfortable. They're being led astray, some of them, or in danger of it. They're struggling with doubts. But his letter also functions to make uncomfortable the comfortable. Those who are complacent. Those who think, I know Jesus. But actually, not sure they do. See, there's always true Christians who doubt, and they shouldn't doubt. And then there's others who confidently say, I know Jesus, but actually they should have doubts. And so we're called to examine ourselves, 2 Corinthians 13, we're called to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. So it's a bit of a spiritual health check. We haven't had the doctor stuff this morning. That'll be back next week. But this 1 John is a spiritual health check book. And whilst it's uncomfortable to self-examine, actually it's vital, isn't it? Absolutely vital. And far better we examine ourselves now, check right now this morning that we're right before God, than risk being unprepared on examination the day of judgment, isn't it? How was it that the believers were so confident that they believed they knew God, but they were so deceived? How did they get to that place? Well, it's because of the alarming truth that not all faith is true faith. Because there are versions of faith, which in theologians talk is not saving faith. There are versions of faith. versions of faith include those people in John 6 who, although they were called Jesus' disciples, they turned back and they no longer walked with Jesus. They fell away because they had a form of faith. They were in some way attached to Jesus, but it was very loose, not solid, not attached in the right way. People with versions of faith are seen in the parable of the sower. Initially, they received the seed of God's word. You know, the guy spreads the seeds around. Seed goes in the ground, and apart from one, it goes in the ground and stuff happens. It looks good. So these are people that receive the word. When they come to church, there's some growth in their life. And people would say, well, that's encouraging, isn't it? But their substance, or the substance of their faith, is exposed when the heat is turned up, or when the world comes calling, when Satan dangles his temptations in front of our face. People with versions of faith, not saving faith, versions of faith, are seen again in John 15, when Jesus talks about the vine. And he talks about branches that are in him, but that are cut off. He said, and what he's saying is, there are types of believers who are not true believers. They look like they're in him, but actually they're cut off because they're not in him. And there's other people in the Bible as well, none more so than Judas Iscariot, of course. Disciples were shocked, weren't they, after 3 years, to think that one of them was a traitor. They didn't have a clue that Judas was far from a follower. Quite the opposite, wasn't he? And what about the people who call Jesus Lord, Lord? But he's not their Lord. Why not? Because Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but then not do what I say? And that's where we're going today. That's what this commandment's about, isn't it? Simon, in Acts 8, looked at recently, Simon the sorcerer, he made a profession of faith. All the signs were good. People might say today, what a conversion. This guy was a sorcerer, now he's a believer. He's been baptized. But it came to light that his profession wasn't genuine, because he was after money, he was after power, he was after self-promotion. Christians promote Jesus, don't they? They don't promote themselves. It's scary to think that it's possible to look like a follower but have false assurance. Let me just say, if you're feeling a bit shaken and wobbly at this point, that's actually a good sign, because concern itself is an encouragement. If there's any concern in you, you think, actually, whoa, am I being described here in any way? Well, that's encouraging that you're concerned. The desire for assurance usually signals the presence of salvation. So if you want assurance, I want to know, that's usually a very good sign. So how do we know we're Christians? We're here this morning, sung a few songs, prayed. How do we know we're Christians? But it's not by just having on our spiritual birth certificate things like we prayed a prayer once. There's that meeting, that was awesome. Felt so good, I went to the front, I prayed a prayer. And it's not to have on our spiritual birth certificate that we were baptized. I remember that service, I remember my baptismal service, it was brilliant. It was a real spiritual high. It's not to have on our birth certificate that we take communion. And that, of course, these things I've just mentioned, they're good and helpful, but they are not solid grounds for assurance. They are not solid grounds. If that's all that is on our spiritual birth certificate, then I'm afraid it's a fake. True marks of salvation include what John has encouraged us with so far. Do I love Jesus? Do I love him? Is he, this is what we looked at the first one, John, is he the basis of my faith? Not me, him. It's about him, what he's done. And then in the evening, second one, John talk, do I walk in the light? Am I going Jesus' way? That is a good sign that we're a Christian, to actually go his way. Last week, do I admit sin? And do I confess it? Do I put the rubbish out, as we were thinking about? That's a true mark. It's very good sign. And today is a biggie, huge one. Do I obey Jesus' commands? Do I obey Jesus' commands? Saving faith is in Christ alone. But John here is stressing that faith is not alone. It comes with other stuff. What we do, works, what we do, actions, obeying and so on, is not the root of our salvation. Let's be absolutely clear on this. But it's the fruit of our salvation. It's evidence, isn't it? So how do we spot a Christian? Firstly, they obey Jesus' commands. Obedience shows that we know Jesus. Look at verses 3 and 4, and I'll read them to us again. We know that we have come to know him if we feel good. Sorry, if we keep his commands. Verse 4, whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. The truth is not in that person. It's strong stuff, isn't it? We're going through 1 John, we can't avoid it. We're in a culture, aren't we, that has not only moved away from God's commands, but are becoming increasingly detached from the image bearers that we are. It's as though sinful humanity today doesn't just walk with a limp, but they're kind of crawling in the opposite direction. This photo was all over the news a week or 2 weeks ago. It's a man taking a selfie in front of a person who's been hit by a train. And this lady on the floor needed her leg amputated later. And commentators, non-Christian commentators, they're in shock. They're talking about how we've just switched our souls off. They were blaming, others were blaming the kind of automaton of the internet. How have we lost our sense of ethics and morality to this extent? It's shocking, isn't it? Some would say we don't care for ourselves, we don't care for others. And I add, we don't care, of course, for God's commands, do we? But our rejection is far worse than we think. An ambulance, again, this is in the news, an ambulance was called out last week to Eastleigh. The message being that a 13-year-old girl was having cardiac arrest. But it was a hoax. And on arrival, the ambulance crew were pelted with bricks and other missiles from an upstairs window. You may have seen it. A 13-year-old and a 14-year-old girl, both of them were arrested. Our sin is not just that we are rejecting God's word, but we reject his rescue as well, don't we? A good number will say, well, I know him, I know God, but evidence is what? Evidence we know him, is we keep his commands. We know Jesus if we listen to him, if we do what he says. Actions, they say, speaks louder than words. What we do, we actually do in life, is the window into our soul, isn't it? Proof of knowing Jesus isn't based on our emotions in worship. It isn't based on our attendance at church things. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with these things, but it isn't based on that. But our godliness in the hundreds of tiny moments of each week where no one else except God is looking. John is not talking here about flawless obedience. Let me be clear on that as well. He said that in verse 2. No, if we sin, he says in verse 2, he's not expecting perfection, we have an advocate. He knows sinless perfection is not possible for us. What he's talking about here in obeying God's commands is this faithful consistency, this striving in us, this general trajectory of our lives of obedience, of longing to please him. That's what he's talking about. Not so long ago, I had a lovely chat with James Waldringfield. He was telling me about a new Christian at his church and how excited he was about this guy. Because this guy was not only kind of reading the Bible lots, which is what happens when you become a Christian, you get excited about the Bible. But he kept finding things in the Bible that he needed to do. He's reading it, oh, I need to do that now, don't I? Come back to James, oh, I need to do that as well, don't I? It's so refreshing. And it's kind of right, here's what God says, and I need to adjust my life accordingly. And the thing is, the devil hates action, doesn't he? He absolutely hates it. He loves it when we talk Jesus, but then just live as we please. And he loves that. That's just fine. In fact, you know, that's something he'd encourage. That undermines the power of the gospel, doesn't it? When we talk the talk, but we don't walk it. And he's fine with a group of people that call themselves a church, but actually don't do anything. But he hates action. And it's great we meet like this. And it's really important we meet like this. But we need to live out distinct lives out there, don't we? We need to live it. We need to be the holy people, growing in godliness and obedience, living as God's attractive family in this world, in this area. What does it say about us if we say, verse 5, I know him, I know Jesus, but we don't obey him? Knowing and keeping his commands cannot be separated. Knowing and keeping are joined. Verse 4, whoever says I know him, but does not, verse 4, it was, I know him, but doesn't do what he commands is a liar. Strong stuff. Have you ever said to your spouse or to your loved ones, I love you so much, that's why I never listen to you? We don't say that, do we? It doesn't make any sense at all. Disobedience interrupts our relationship with God, relationship with Jesus. Disobedience also may be evidence that we don't have a relationship with Jesus. A life that is not marked by faithful consistency may well be a sign we don't actually know him. At the Pride March in London yesterday, it was a banner with the words, I wasn't there, sorry, with the words of 1 John. There were Christians there, though. There was a banner they tried to hijack with the words of 1 John 4, verse 16. It simply read, God is love, with a rainbow. And yes, God is love. And we must proclaim his love, and we live his love, and we live on his love, and live on his grace. But we are to teach the whole counsel of God, the whole of the Bible, which means proclaiming what it means to live in his love. So they didn't have this verse on their banner yesterday. They didn't have, if we know him, we keep his commands. Interestingly. See, if we don't follow Jesus' words, and I know this is sharp this morning, I know this is hard, I've had a difficult week, as you can probably tell. If we don't follow his words, can we confidently say we are his followers? Again, I'm repeating a lot. Let me be clear. John is not talking about sin in general. There are many ways we regularly sin. We fall quickly, unwittingly. He's talking about a consistent, willful disobedience. A living in sin, a knowing living in sin, and not doing anything about it. That's what he's talking about. Take a young couple who say, well, we just love God. We love God. And we just love each other. So it just feels right that we live together. Just feels right. We're planning to get married, after all. But what is exposed is that they either don't know God or they don't love God. Because God in his wisdom has said to that young couple, no, wait, hasn't he? If they really knew, if they really loved and trusted God, they would love to obey him. Is there anything in our lives, right now, going on in our lives, which says no to Jesus' commands? What is it in us? Right on the street, brilliant, isn't it? Timed it perfectly. Big no in our lives. Screamed out. Is it an action? Something we're doing? Is it an attitude that he said, you shouldn't have that attitude? That is a wrong attitude. That is not a godly attitude. Is it gossip? We just love it. We just can't get out of the habit of talking about other people. Is it a grudge? Everyone else, yeah, but that person, I just can't forgive them. Is there anything in our lives where we are not obeying Jesus' commands? We're just keeping going. in disobeying. Living with knowing disobedience means we will lack assurance. We will. It's Christianity, if you like, with the brakes on. We won't go anywhere as a Christian. We won't grow. We won't be motivated. It'll be just survival at best. John the Baptist said, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Jesus said, by their fruit you know them. James said, faith, if not accompanied by action, is dead. It's not faith. It's not real faith. John says, if we say we know Jesus, but don't do what Jesus commands, then we're liars. The truth is not in us. You think, strong stuff, John. Tone it down a bit. But actually, it's just a fact, isn't it? There's no other way but to trust and obey. We're going to sing that in a moment. The two go hand in hand. If we love him, if we trust him, we'll do what he says. They go together. They have to. If we don't trust, we don't obey. Or we won't obey if we don't trust him, will we? Sin shakes us, doesn't it? It's our sin. If we're sitting here this morning, we're feeling a bit troubled. It's our sin. It shakes us. It troubles us. What does obedience do? Obedience assures us. Growing obedience assures us. It's a very good sign of spiritual health. So do we have an attitude of treasuring and carefully guarding what Jesus says to us? Obedience is at the center of what being a Christian is. Because we listen to him, we love him, and we do what he says because we love him. Think back to school days. Sorry, not a happy memory for everybody. But what teachers, teacher maybe, did you listen to the best and why? Well, it would be the teachers that we're either terrified of or the teachers that we really liked. We did what they said because it mattered or because we wanted to please them. And Jesus is both of these, if you like. We listen and do what Jesus says because he's coming back to judge this world of sin. And that is a fearful thing for sinners like us. To know that we will stand in judgment, that's terrifying. That ought to be. And we listen and do because he has paid for our sin. And that is a wonderful thing for sinners like us, isn't it? So we have the balance of fear and respect and honour, but we love him. Best teacher ever, isn't he? How do we spot a Christian? They obey Jesus. And lastly, and very briefly, this really is very brief, they look like Jesus as well. Obedience looks like Jesus. Verse 6, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. We know we've come to know Jesus if we start looking like Jesus. See, through Jesus, God wins us to himself. He wins people to himself. And then he begins the process of changing us, people, Christians, into the likeness of his son, doesn't he? Keith Green wrote a song, "To Obey is Better Than Sacrifice." I put it on the back of the sheet, and we'll look at this in a minute, these little bits. I'd really encourage you to listen to this song. Many of you know Keith Green. Wonderful Christian, wrote some great songs, died young, but left a real blessing. And in this song, "To Obey is Better Than Sacrifice," he sings very passionately, "I want your life. I want all of you. I want more than Sundays and Tuesday nights. I've changed the day. If you don't come every day, don't bother coming at all. I want hearts of fire, not prayers of ice." It's very provocative, but very helpful, because we get very comfortable, don't we? And because we often don't get that as Jesus gave his whole life for us, so walking the path of obedience for us means our whole lives for him. That's what it is to be a Christian. We've got to be clear on that. If you've signed up, we need to know that. That's what following Jesus means. Christians, we are no longer our own. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. It's his blood on the cross, isn't it? And it's great to be his. It is great to belong to him and serve him because it means to become like him. It means one day to be with him for all eternity in heaven. If we say we know him, I know him, I know Jesus, then we start looking like him. So how do you spot a Christian? They obey Jesus, they look like Jesus. False assurance is a terrible thing, but obedience is solid assurance. I'm going to leave verse 5, verse 7 and 8 to next time. I'm just going to end with a story. The particularly upsetting story of the Pearl Harbor attack. That though they had plenty of warning, they thought they were safe. That's what happened at Pearl Harbor. Well, it's about the tragedy of it, really, partly. It was December the 7th, 1941. It was World War II. The US military based in Hawaii had recently installed a new secret weapon called radar. And in the book, At Dawn We Slept, Gordon Prangy, describes the appearance of an unbelievably large blip on the radar. And Private Lockhart thought the new equipment had gone haywire. But a quick check showed it was working fine. Also on duty was Private Elliot. He immediately reported the enormous sighting to the information center and spoke to Lieutenant Tyler. And Tyler was pretty relaxed about it. He was sure the radar had picked up a flight of B-17 bombers arriving from the US. So Tyler, the lieutenant, ended the conversation, "Don't worry about it." So everyone carried on that Sunday morning, falsely assured of safety, never suspecting that on that beautiful early Sunday morning, death was about to rain down from the sky in the form of 350 Japanese fighter planes. See, the beauty and the peace of these days we live in cause many to be deceived, don't they? To think it's okay, everything's fine, everything's well, including, and this gets also into the lives of Christians, but false assurance is a terrible thing. So ask ourselves, and we'll look at more at this next week in 1 John, what's going on in here? That's the question. What's going on in my heart? Do I love Jesus? Do I admit sin? Do I confess it? Do I turn from it and obey? So I know the sin, but I do something about it. I take action, I obey. You can spot a true Christian not by what they've experienced, not by what they know, not by where they go, not by how they talk. You can spot a Christian by how they walk, can't you? By their obedience to Jesus. With a limp, of course. Please let me encourage you to be learning verses. It's a good verse to learn. We don't preach warning that much. We do some, but 1 John 2 verse 3, there's a prayer to pray. There's some songs to sing. And again, let me encourage you, look up Keith Green, "To Obey Is to Better Than Sacrifice." It's a good song, very helpful.